Welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm Jennifer, and together with my husband Dave, we started with an idea, worked on it as a side hustle, and grew it into our first eco-friendly store. At Upcycle Canada, we repurpose, refinish, and reuse discarded items, giving them new life. Sit in on the conversation as we continue to grow from a small side hustle into something much more. Special guests will drop by and share their journey with you as well. This is the most eco-friendly small business podcast in your favorites. This is Upcycle Canada, where yesterday's items are reborn. Let's do this.
Welcome, everybody, to the Upcycle Canada podcast. Very happy to have you here today. Jen's at work, so I'm flying solo, but I am in good company today. I have somebody who has a team. I don't have a team. Stacy has a team, which I'm really excited about, but Stacy's here with me today. Stacy Tenenbaum is here. Scrap documentary is coming out. We are super excited to be a part of this, to be connected in any way, form, and shape to a documentary that focuses on people making a difference in the world, changing their world by looking at waste and what we can do with waste. Stacy Tenenbaum, welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. It's my honor to have you here today. I feel like I need to sit up straight, but thank you for being part of this today. So glad to have you with us.
I'm so happy to be here. I love, love, love what you guys are doing. I'm obviously really into upcycling. We have some great upcyclers in the film. I think they're, I call them next level upcyclers. Nice. We can talk a little bit more about that. But yeah, it's great to be here and great to have you guys as a partner and getting the word out about scrap.
So I take it this movie took probably, 5 to 10 hours to do. You did it at home on your iPhone and you're just releasing it. Is that right? Did it take that short of a time or how long did this take to make this?
No, it actually was a huge, long slog for me. I produce and direct the films, which means I have to raise all the money to start. So that just raising the money took 2 years to be able to shoot. And then really early on, I got the documentary channel on as a partner. So they helped in with the financing a bit. And they're also going to do the broadcast across Canada. So that was amazing. And then I managed to get all the money together. And in 2019, I started shooting. My second shoot was in Spain, just as COVID broke out. Oh, no. So we actually just got out of the country and then they shut the country down. So it was kind of crazy. So then the film was on hold for a really long time as we sort of figured out how we were going to shoot it, or I was going to get it shot. Because usually what we would do is I would bring like a camera person and a sound person from Canada to all of these different locations that we're filming in. Just so your listeners know, the film is shot in a whole bunch of different countries. So we were in Spain, we were in the US quite a few times, in Thailand, in India, and in Korea as well. So I had to get all that shooting done during COVID, which was complicated. I ended up hiring teams in different countries and then directing over Zoom. So it was really tough. It was hard. And then a long time editing as well, over Zoom again. I sound like a commercial for Zoom, but I should, get money from them for, but the whole film was kind of made, that way, like remotely. Unfortunately, or most of it. I did manage to get away for a few of the shoots and be able to direct in person. Kind of when there were lulls in COVID, like during the summer, sometimes I'd be able to get away and do a little shoot. So it's been over 4 years now that I've been working on
it. Wow. Wow. That's a lot of effort, time, a lot of passion behind it. How did this, let's go back to the beginning, Stacey. How did this all start? Where did the idea come from to even do this?
Yeah, well, I'm really into stuff. Like I actually think I'm, was into upcycling before I even knew that there was a term called upcycling. Like I live in an old house. I collect all these weird antiques. I have a lamp made out of motorcycle parts. Like I just really like that whole ethos of sort of repurposing things and, you know, coming up with creative ways to deal with waste. But actually the genesis of the project started because I was working on a TV show called Trashopolis, which was actually a really cool series. And it was about how garbage built up cities. So how different cities through their history dealt with waste and how the waste actually contributed to how the cities grew. And I was researching a show in Moscow and ended up finding all these like crazy graveyards with all this old like space junk and rockets and like these amazing like stuff that was just left over. And it really captured my imagination. I was like, wow, like I never knew places like this existed. And I thought they were so amazing because they sort of have all of these antique planes and like all of this history that's just sort of sitting around and, you know, kind of not necessarily wasting away because metal doesn't waste away. So that really captured my imagination. That was like about 10 years ago. And then I realized, you know, there are people that are there are these graveyards all over the world, which I didn't know. So I started researching about like, where does stuff go? And then I realized that, like, it's kind of a question that's not on people's radar. Like, what happens to big things, right? Like, we all know about recycling in our home and, you know, the little, you know, your can and whatever. And so I think that the question of, like, what happens to these big items, it just wasn't being asked. So that was kind of what gave me the idea to do the film.
And speaking of big items, I think the one clip I've saw so far is the people working on a ship. Dismantling a ship and working on that. Like that's, yeah, like what happens to these things? We had no idea, right?
Exactly. And, you know, it's like every 30, like the lifespan of a ship is like about 40 years and then they have to do something with it, right? And people just don't think about it. I mean, there is ship breaking that is an industry in countries like Bangladesh and Pakistan and India. And it's fairly like if you do research into ship breaking, it's kind of an environmental disaster. Yes. It's really, and also just a human, like these people are working without any safety equipment or it's just really dangerous occupation and a dirty one. But in the film, I'm following a guy who's an architect and he's upcycling. That's why I say on a different level, because he's upcycling this ship, a huge ocean liner, so a big ship, and he's building a church out of it. So that's just such a cool project. I was with him right from the beginning where he hadn't even found his ship when I first contacted him. He was like looking for a ship that was the right size and the right shape to fit in with his architecture. Then I was with him all the way. He found his ship. It was in Spain. And the great thing is that it was at a ship breaking place in Spain, which is environmentally friendly. So they're doing it the right way. Mm-hmm. So as not to pollute the water, and they're recycling as much of the materials as they can. But he was actually upcycling because he's going to be using all of that. The ship hull, he basically cut it apart in Spain, shipped it to Korea, and is now reassembling it in Korea as part of his construction for this church. So we documented that whole process all the way through.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like there's probably an easier way to build a church, I don't think. But
yeah. It's really hard actually for him as an architect too, because he was like, usually the materials dictate your architecture. I mean, usually like you have your architecture and you get materials and that's, you know, normal. But in this way, it was like the materials are dictating how he's going to build because it's all based around the ship and the measurements and sizes and shapes of this ship. So yeah, definitely difficult. And, you know, lots and lots of challenges, but also just a creative and fun challenge for him, I think, the architect, and a really cool way to look at dealing with waste.
The other thing I was looking at too, and I love the imagery of the telephone boxes from England.
Yeah.
Scattered across that field. Like, okay, so yeah, we're all on our cell phones, our smartphones, and we seldom use a payphone anymore. I'm sorry for Superman. I don't know what he's going to do in the future, but as far as changing his clothes, but what, tell me about all these phone booths and what's happening with those.
Yeah, so that was actually the first thing I shot for the film was this phone booth place. Because you think, like, it's kind of this weird thing, you know, we used to have phone booths, like, on almost every corner, you know, and when I go out, my mother would be like, always bring a quarter, or like, I don't know, it was a dime back then, I don't even know. You know, like, that was just part of our lives, and then it disappeared, right? And nobody stops to be like, hey, what happened to all those phone booths? Where'd they go? So I guess this film is a little bit of that. It's like, okay, well, here is what happened to the old phone booths. So in England, they were actually getting rid of these iconic, like, I mean, it's hard to even imagine now that they were just going to throw away all those amazing, iconic British phone boxes. But that's what they were doing. They were going to go to scrap. And this guy had a trucking company and he was supposed to be bringing them to get scrapped. And he's like, no, I'm going to buy them. I'm going to buy up a bunch and restore them. And he ended up in the telephone booth restoration business. They just do amazing work. I mean, basically the phone booth is exactly as it was like 100 years ago. Oh, wow. And the amazing thing is the way they were built back then, you can refurbish them, right? Like, it can be brought back. And the problem with the new ones now is it's all plastic and cheap materials that you can't refurbish. Yeah. So, he was great. And now those phone booths are being used like on film sets. They're being put back onto streets. Some cities are using them as defibrillators because I guess they're a big red sort of, you know, noticeable thing. So they're putting defibrillators in them. Like, there's all kinds of really cool repurposing of these phone booths that's taking place across England.
It's amazing. And the one thing that we've come into contact just with our business here in Canada is being able to meet great creators around the world who are doing similar things, maybe on a smaller scale than a ship. but we've met people who only do pianos. We've met people who only do guitar strings. We've met people who only do like refurnishing furniture and that kind of thing. It's amazing to see the creative spirit and many people doing what they can with what they have to make a difference, right? Whether it's really big or really, really small. So that's inspiring. And that's why I'm really interested in the movie coming out, to inspire those people, but to maybe inspire people who haven't never thought of what they can do for the world. It's Earth Week this week as we're recording. We want to kind of focus people's attention on how big the need is and the fact that anyone, really anyone, can make a difference in this. And that's maybe what the movie captures a little bit.
It does. I think, you know, it sort of shows people that are doing upcycling in a creative way. And I think that's inspiring. But I mean, it could be a little step. I mean, maybe you can't build a building out of a ship, but you can buy from people who are upcycling, right? Like, you can support this in your day-to-day life, and it's easy, and it's really gratifying to have upcycled items in your home. And I mean, you can help in little ways, or even just by buying products that are made to last, right? Yes. That's a big thing now, is the circular economy and kind of deciding that you're going to buy stuff that's going to be made to last for a long time and to be able to be fixed and to be able to be repurposed. So there's a lot of kind of topics that I'm hoping people will take away from the film. But the film's actually just a very artistic meditation on what happens to these things. So it's kind of the first step. It's like, you don't ask that question, what happens to the phone boxes? So the film answers that question. It's like, okay, here they are. Here are people who are doing things with them. And hopefully it'll inspire people to get more information about stuff like, you know, upcycling and right to repair and circular economy, and get them also just taking those small little steps in their daily life to make a difference.
Was there a moment while you're filming, Stacey, when you're standing there, the cameras are off, and you're just kind of taking all this in, and you're just like, we're on to something here. Like, this is all fitting together. Did you have that moment when you're recording where you're just like, I feel like we're on the right path here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a really enthusiastic person. So every time I go on a shoot, I'm just like so excited to be wherever I am. And also, I guess, because you get to go to these really interesting, amazing places. So I would say I had that feeling on every shoot, but that just might be my personality. you know, like, I'm in a shipbreaking yard, and that's just so cool. And I don't know, I really felt that what I was capturing was beautiful. Part of what I wanted to do with the film was to get people to see the beauty in discarded items, because I think that if you can sort of have this, you know, recognize the beauty of these things, that you'll be less likely to throw them out. So really the idea was to show these items and to show their beauty. And I know that sounds weird because I'm just talking about scrap metal, but for me, I find scrap really beautiful, which I guess is why I made the film. But like, I mean, just stuff like the way that the rust starts to show up. I mean, if you just take a close up of that rust, it could look like a modern art piece, you know? So I think my goal with the film was really to show the beauty in this waste, what we call waste, which isn't really waste, and also to show how attached people can be to stuff, to these things. So each of the characters that I follow in the film just have a very different relationship to the things that they're either recycling or collecting, but they all have this very deep attachment to the things themselves. And I think that that's something that we're missing with throwaway culture, is like you get a new cell phone every couple of years, you get like everything is new, and you're missing that attachment that is possible to have with things. So that was something that I really wanted to show in the film, and that I think I was quite successful at doing.
That's exciting. Yeah. And I think that whole throwaway mentality and how we shop, and there's no consequence to our actions, really, right? Until we start to see it in real life. And I love the idea that this film is going to help maybe refocus some people and make them think twice, you know. As far as the one clip I like watching too was there's kids running around playing outside of an airplane. An odd place for an airplane.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the story behind that part of the film?
So there's an airplane graveyard, which I thought was on the outskirts of Bangkok, but it's actually like literally kind of in the city. It's like these abandoned airplanes. There's probably about six of them. They have a huge 747 there. The airplane graveyard has become a kind of place for urban explorers to go and to take photos. And part of what I wanted to look at in the film was like, why are we so attracted to these places? What is it about these places that draws us to them? And so my initial interest in the airplane graveyard was like, oh, I'll talk to the tourists and try and figure out why are we so attracted to these places and to these old things that have been discarded? But it turns out that there's a really tough grandma who kind of runs the place. She's the caretaker of the place. And she has her whole extended family there. I think it's eight adults and seven kids, or seven kids and eight adults, I forget. So a whole group of people that she has there that she's supporting through this sort of, she charges tourists to come and see the planes, basically. But they actually film, they actually live in a converted airplane. So they took an airplane carcass and created a home out of it for this extended family. And I thought that was really neat. So a lot of people are kind of going and they're just taking photos of the planes. But I realized that the grandma and her family and what she's doing there is actually a really cool story in itself. And I think I'm probably the only person who was able to go inside their home. I don't think anybody else has ever been invited in, or maybe even asked to be invited in. And I thought that was really special. And for me, when I was doing the film, I thought, well, it has a relationship to the architect in a way. I mean, even though she's not an architect and she's not educated, she's using this airplane as her home, as a structure to live in. And I thought it was really funny in the film. She's like, oh, I never want to fly in an airplane. She's like the original purpose of the thing has like no interest to her. But like her secondary purpose is, well, the airplane is now my home, which I thought was really interesting. So she's also in her own way upcycling.
Yeah. Taking something that's no longer needed and returning into something new. I love it. So as you're talking to these people, Stacey, and you're meeting with them, do you think they all had a sense that they were all on the same path as far as upcycling and part of a bigger culture of upcycling? Or do you think they were more just focused on what they're doing personally and not really connecting the dots between a Canadian filmmaker coming and a film crew and I'm a part of what's going on, this whole thing in the world? Like, do you think that's growing, that knowledge of upcycling?
I think the people didn't really think about each other, really. So I don't know if they had no one's seen the film yet, which will be really exciting. So actually the people that I filmed don't really know about the bigger picture. And they weren't all upcyclers. Some of them are collectors. Some of them are have different relationships with the things. But the upcyclers, I think they're just doing their thing. And I don't know if there's that much of a community, really. I mean, I think there is a community. But for example, I also filmed with this sculptor. His name is John Lopez. And he's making giant, bison and these animals out of farm equipment. He's from South Dakota, a lot of farms around there. And he's salvaging this farm equipment. He's making these stunning, stunning sculptures out of them. And he's definitely part of a community. There is a community of scrap metal artists. And they're really cool and they've got their thing going. But I don't know if they're really, linked in with a larger upcycling community. So there might be these little pockets of people that are getting together, but I think it's still fairly specialized and people are maybe isolated just because, artists are often isolated, even filmmakers, they're just doing their thing usually. I don't know if they necessarily are coming together at this stage.
So, but this movie will help with that.
I hope so.
This is definitely going to connect the dots, right? And help the people in the movie, the people who are watching, and the people who are doing their little piece wherever they are in the world to kind of say, yeah, that's me. That's what I do, right? Yeah. And then feel a part of that bigger community. So as the film is launched and released, what are your plans as far as to continue promoting this? This is not a one and done and off to the next thing. How are you promoting? How are you getting the word out to the audience to see this? And where does this lead you down the road from here?
Yeah, so I always knew that I wanted to have a bigger impact, that after people saw the film, I wanted a place for them to go to find out more about different issues. So I'm working with someone. This is part of my team. It's all new and exciting to me, too. I don't normally have a team, but I'm working with an impact producer. That's what they call them. And she's helping to amplify the message and to get people to keep on getting them activated and interested in the environmental issues that are being brought forth in the film, which is partly how we ended up partnering with you guys. So she's looking for like-minded individuals that can help spread our message, but also where people can go after they see the film and maybe become a little bit more involved in the different things that are of interest to them. So I have a lot of stuff coming up, like a ton. So first of all, we're having our premiere at Hot Docs, which is really, really exciting. And that's going to be on May 1st and another screening on May 4th. And then at that screening, we've partnered with the Canadian National Institute for the Blind. They have an amazing program called Phone It Forward, which everybody should check out. Okay. And so what it is they collect old phones and tablets and they refurbish them and they load them with apps to help people with sight impairments. So there are apps that help them to navigate the world. So at my screening at Hot Docs, I'll be collecting phones and tablets. And you can get a tax receipt for them. It's just the coolest thing. I love it, love it, love it. So we're going to be doing that at Hot Docs. And then right after Hot Docs, I'm going to California for the US premiere of the film. And that's at Docklands in California, just near San Francisco. And we're partnering with an organization across the states, which is called Secure the Call. And they kind of do the same thing. They collect phones and they refurbish them, strip them, and then they give them to people like seniors or homeless people or people that are in abusive situations to have as an emergency phone. Really two amazing, amazing organizations. And I'll be partnering with them at all of the film screenings, both at festivals. And I'm also going to have a theatrical screening. So basically this spring, I'm going to be doing festivals all across Canada and the US, hopefully in Europe too, bringing the film to people there, collecting their phones for those organizations. And then we're going to have a theatrical release of the film across Canada, probably at the end of the summer.
Okay.
So that's something that's happening. We're doing lots of stuff. Can I continue?
Oh, no, please go. I'm waiting. I want, this is all about the movie and you. I love it.
Let's go. Okay, we're doing lots and lots of stuff. So the other thing that we're doing is for World Environment Day on June 5th, we're doing what we're calling a scrap fixer mixer, because it's fun to say and it's fun to do. So what it is we've reached out to repair cafes and to tool libraries. So all across Canada and the US, they have these places that are teaching people how to repair stuff, the lost art of repair, which I really think is so hugely important. And I'm so sad that it's been lost in like one generation, like that instinct to repair and even the knowledge has been lost. So these repair cafes are bringing that back. They're teaching people how to fix stuff. And so what they're going to do is they're going to have a screening all on June 5th at the same time. We're partnered so far with 16 repair cafes and tool libraries in Canada and the States, and we're still accepting more. So if there's anyone out there, and so everybody's going to get together, they're going to watch the film on World Environment Day, and then they're going to actually have a fixing party. We're a fixing mixer where they're going to, you know, get together and fix stuff and you know, spread that knowledge and community across the Canada and the U.S. So we're really, really, really excited about that.
That's great.
And then
love
after
it.
That's all done, we're going to be broadcast on the CBC. The film will be available on CBC Gem as well. So for streaming all across the country. So that's my big news.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's great.
That's why I need a team.
That's why you, yes. And it sounds like you have a wonderful team. I've spoken to them. They are superstars. Yeah. So you're in good hands. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. So we've been getting questions and people asking. We've been promoting the film as well. And so people are excited. People are eager to see this.
Awesome.
You know, be a part of the community. So I'm thrilled that we have a chance to talk to you about it too. So the scrap documentary, it's, you have to go and check them out. So what, some of the, just before, we're not going to close off right now, but as far as just connections for people, what is the best way for somebody to connect with the film so they can get caught up right away and follow the journey from this stage on?
Yeah. So I have a website. It's scrapdoc.ca. So they can go to the website. They can also link to all of our partners, our different partners, if they want more information on what our partners are doing. And then really following me on social media is the, because of that, that's where I think I'm going to have the most up-to-date information about, you know, festival screenings and releases and stuff like that. So I'm on Twitter at Scrap Doc, and I'm on Instagram at Scrap Documentary, and on Facebook as Scrap Documentary as well. So there's those three ways will definitely keep people in the loop, and they'll be most up to date on all of the screening times and places and stuff like that. So it's very exciting.
So what is, Stacey, what is something that you've walked away from the filming of this movie and all of the work, all the effort, the years, the time, the money, you've walked away from it. You're now sitting at your home now. What have you walked away with? What have you learned in the process?
I think really for me, and it was something I probably instinctually knew going in, but I think for me, it was really the idea of how attached we can be to things and how important that is to us as a society. I think that losing that attachment, we're losing a lot. You know, with this sort of new throwaway culture, we're losing like our history and even like just design, like, you know, like stuff is getting scrapped and it's just lost forever. So I think that it's just more important and more dramatic than we even think on a human level. Like not just that we're creating all this waste, but that we're becoming more and more alienated. And I think that's what really stayed with me after the whole process.
It's interesting. Yeah. Like I think even little things like you go to a car show and there are cars from the 40s, 50s, 60s, and that's it. I don't know if there'll be car shows in the future where people are going to look at them. The 2022. It's like they're just meant to be used and disposed of. And, you know, there's nothing, there's no connection in the same way that you might see of the nostalgia, I guess, of the old, right? And I just think that's missing, right? And I know that it's a different generation. People have different focuses. People appreciate things differently. But to know that we're not being part of a wasteful society in what we value, you know, and that the fact that we can make an impact, even just in the simple little things. Yeah, I think that's the one thing I come away with whenever time I talk about upcycling and talk to upcyclers or repurposing or people who salvage is just the fact that we are all part of we're the last best hope before this item just turns into waste. It fills up a landfill or a city is built on top of it or just gets pushed out to sea. We're the last best hope, right? So we as consumers, we own that last piece of the puzzle. It's not just the fact that we own the product while we have it, but we're also responsible for what happens after the fact, right?
Definitely, yeah.
As far as the people that come to see the movie, is there something that you hope that they walk away with?
It's, you know what? I don't know. It's an interesting film. I think it's a film that creates a lot of emotions. I mean, I definitely lean heavily on that nostalgia feeling. Okay. And there's a lot of different messages in the film. So I'm kind of hoping that different people, like different things resonate with different people. And I think that's why I've been also, even in my partners that I have, like they're focused on different areas that are brought up in the film that are important to me. So stuff like right to repair, the fact that, you know, we can't repair and that the like companies are not allowing us to repair, which is a whole other issue that really pisses me off. Yeah. But they're like our partners are actually working to create legislation and create a movement around the idea of right to repair. So if that touches you in the film, then maybe that's something that you can look out for partners that are dealing with that. I mean, other stuff that I love is obviously upcycling. I mean, so, you know, if you see the upcyclers in the film and you're really into it, then you can go and see Upcycle Canada and you can decide that you're going to buy more upcycled products or circular economy. I just think is hugely important because, you know, how we're making stuff affects how it's disposed of later. So the whole idea of buying stuff that's built to last, buying stuff that's built to be repaired, like that's hugely important to me. So we're dealing with organizations that are, you know, working on that, working on the circular economy. And then another thing that I really love that isn't an obvious environmental organization, but I really love Urban Explorers. And I know they've gotten a bad rap in the past, but a lot of them are artists, like legitimate photographers that are going to these places that have been abandoned and documenting the history there. And I think there's a real service in that. And they're also, they're showing the beauty in these things, which is kind of what I was trying to do with the film. Because I think if you can appreciate the beauty of the things, then they become less disposable. So I'm also partnered with a bunch of really cool, artistic, amazing urban explorers. So depending on what attracts you in the film, like there are a variety of different areas or all of them that you could like just look into for simple ways on sort of changing the way that you consume and your lifestyle and stuff like that.
I love your passion for this and the fact that this movie's going to, this documentary is going to hit on different levels for different people. It's not made for one specific person, right? Mm-hmm. The audience is broad and yeah, I'm anticipating a whole future generation of upcycling and repurposing and salvage people that are going to come out of this and go, I could do this. You know, you sparked some interest in me. Now I want to know and I want to do something more, right? It's a powerful, powerful tool, right? Something I can tell you're proud of because I can see it on your face, but in talking with you and your team, it must be an exciting thing as a maker as well. You're a maker, just like the people you're talking to. You've created this whole thing, right? So as a maker, you must be just thrilled with the outcome and to be sitting at this stage of your career. It's great.
Yeah, I'm absolutely thrilled. I mean, I think a lot of the people in the film sort of speak for me. So they're sort of sharing the passion that I have. And I'm documenting that. But yeah, definitely, I'm hoping the film as a thing that has been created will have some kind of impact as well. So yeah, very exciting.
It's great. And like I said, when we got the initial contact from your team, that we could be part of this in some small way, we were so thrilled. You know, to be a part of a great documentary like this. The Scrap documentary is going to be amazing. Stacey, any last things you want to chat about before we let you go to your next interview today?
Well, I just hope I see people at screenings. I love meeting people, and I'm really excited to meet people in person at Hot Docs. I'm so thrilled about that. Any Americans at Docklands as well. So I'll be there for the question and answer period after the film. And I really, really, really want people to bring in their cell phones and tablets and sure. stuff so that they're not ending up in an e-waste recycling plant, which is not a nice place. You'll see one in the film. It's not the nicest work to have to recycle our waste just because we're so wasteful. So I would love if people bring in their phones because they're getting refurbished and upcycled and reused in a way that's really meaningful to me. So that's what I'd do. I'd encourage people to come out to the screenings and bring their e-waste and know that it's going to a good place.
It's not just about knowledge, not just about watching a film. It's about action.
Yeah.
Right. So bring those items with you. Let's help people. Let's support people with Phone It Forward, with Secure the Call. Let's be a part of the solution. You know, you don't have to have the latest phone that comes out every week and be the coolest kid in the class and create waste in the process. You can hang on to that phone a little longer or make sure it goes into the hands of somebody who can use it. Instead of going into waste. That's one simple thing we can do. And if the film helps to shine a light on that, then that's a success, a win, I think, right there.
I hope so.
And the fact that you spent so much time and effort and love and passion to create this for us, Stacey, thank you. And we will be watching and cheering you on and a part of your world. And we would love to help any way possible. As our little business kind of does the upcycling thing, for us, this is like a big, massive truck comes come up beside us in our tiny little upcycle car. And this big film is here to help us and to point people in our direction and to point people in the direction of salvage and taking steps forward. It's great to partner with somebody on this path. And we find it encouraging and we're really happy. And we're really hoping that this movie lives up to all of the expectations that are in your heart, because I know you have great plans for this.
I do. Thank you so much. And yeah, it's just great. I think we're all, I'm not a big truck. I just am me. My team is very little. I think you make me sound a little bit more important than I am, but let's hope it does have a big impact. I would like to touch as many people as possible to get that message out. And the partners that I'm partnering with are a big part of that as well. So thank you. Thank you for
every day that you showed up to filming when you didn't feel like it. Thank you for the flights. Thank you for the Zoom calls. Thank you for all the inconvenience, the price, the cost, the sacrifice for the years to pull this together.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that, Stacey, because now we get to enjoy and experience and live the vision that you had 10 years ago. And it's great to be part of that. Really
That's kind of crazy when you say it like that. Yes, it has been a long time. Well, I'm anxious to get it out there and for people to see it and be moved by the film, hopefully.
Taking nothing away from the scrap documentary, I can't wait to see what's next for you.
I'm working on a film called Tough Old Broads.
I personally might not be able to help you with that part, but that sounds like an interesting work too. Yeah, so keep us up to date. Let's stay connected because I want to keep this conversation going.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for having me today and getting the word out.
So enjoy your other calls today. I hope they're just as much fun, and I hope you hear just as much praise because you deserve it. Thank you for all your time.
Thanks.
This has been the Upcycle Canada podcast. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate your feedback and would love to connect with you. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions to upcyclecanadapodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about our business and access links to all our social media sites, podcast notes, and more, please visit upcyclecanada.ca. A review of this episode on the podcast app of your choice is always appreciated. Please help us build this community by sharing our podcast with your family and friends. Our thanks to Jacob Moon for the instrumental backing track used in this podcast. Please visit jacobmoon.com for more on this talented Canadian artist. Join us again for more great topics, ideas, and practical steps to help you in your daily life. Thank you for listening. Let's keep this conversation going.